From Wishing Star Studio in St. Paul, Minnesota, this is Being an Elder, Living a Meaningful Life, hosted by Karen Lund. This is episode 6, Life is Good, Being a Spiritual Elder.
Spirituality. Life is good for me now, because I recognize that spirituality is a very important part of my life. But when I look at spirituality, it's very personal. It has nothing to do with a specific religion or philosophy or even a spiritual practice. So when I look at spirituality, all I want to do is give you information about how I look at it. I'm not trying to change you. I'm not trying to get you to think a certain way. I've found that it gives my life greater meaning because I have a spiritual connection. Many writers would probably talk about this section as writing about my spiritual journey. This really hasn't been a journey. In fact, I didn't realize the first 50 to 60 years of my life that I was living a life connected to spirituality. I had no conscious connection, but I now know in reflecting that all the experiences and all the opportunities that were open to me that I took advantage of were the direct result of the universe taking care of me. I had to have these experiences. I had to live this life in order for me to do what I'm now doing, which is helping others see what the potentials are for them, helping others to see what are the potentials one has. So often we think that life just goes and we have no control of it. What I've learned is life does go, but if you're open and take advantage of what comes along, your life will be expanded. I will tell you, for 50 or 60 years, it didn't connect to spirituality. Sure, as a child and young adult, I was connected to Christianity. I went to Sunday school and attended church with my family. And in college, I even taught Sunday school to 3- and 4-year-olds. Telling them about the love of Jesus. I'm sure most of my connection to Christianity was an intellectual pursuit. Emotions were just not an aspect of my life. I don't ever remember experiencing the emotional love of Jesus. I can't also ever remembering a time in my life for the first 60 years that I asked, why am I here? What's my purpose in this life? What does God have planned for me? Why has my life unfolded like it has? I just had no concern about that. I did have a interest in an intellectual pursuit of religion, and that started when I was about 12. I wanted to learn about Christianity, but we also had a Jewish temple, and I wanted to find out about that. And I've always said, if I ever went back to get a PhD in something, it would probably be something around comparative religions. Right now, I'm struggling with the book of Karen Armstrong, The History of God. There have been a few encounters in my life where I did experience some really strong spiritual connection. In my late 20s, I was living in Pacific Grove, California, just a block from the ocean. Now, this is in the Monterey area, and the ocean is a rough ocean at that point. It has huge boulders around much of the beach area, and you could sit on those boulders. And I would go out there on the weekends and sit and watch the ocean displaying its roar and strength. Another day, I was physically sitting on the beach as the tide was coming in and going out, and I could feel the movement of that tide within me, and my body moved out and in as that tide. And I then said, I know there's a higher being than me. I knew I was connected with a part of that ocean. I felt it within. In 1970, I went to Japan, and I was there traveling as I was working on Guam and was able to get R&Rs. And a couple of things started getting me thinking. Number one, I was introduced to Shintoism, very superficial. But the other thing that happened was I saw lots of Buddhas. I mean, I saw the biggest, the tallest, the reclining Buddha, you name it, and how many temples I went to. But one of the things that I felt when I went to the temples, and I remember I had read in the book Shogun, Watch the Rocks Grow, and that didn't make any sense to me until I went to Japan, and in the temples, I saw the monks as they raked the pebbles that represented the water, and in the center was the rock. And people would come and sit and contemplate the rock. Watch the rock grows. That was another spiritual experience for me. And then in 1971, since I was still on Guam and I got lots of ways to fly on the military flights, I would get R&Rs, I went to Thailand. And in Thailand again, I saw the Buddhists and the Buddhas, and I saw the temples. And I remember going to see what they call the Emerald Buddha, which is really the Jade Buddha. And then I went to Singapore, and I came back, and we spent one day in Malaysia. And in that one day in Malaysia, we visited a Buddhist temple, a Hindu shrine, the National Mosque, and the taxi driver pointed out to us on the way back to the hotel, oh, and there's a little Christian church over there. It was at that point in my life I realized the vastness of other religions and cultures. I then, fortunately for me, I went back to Singapore in the 1980s. And I will tell you this. When I was there in 1971, I fell in love with Singapore. And I said, if I could ever come back here and work, I would. And the international consulting company that I was working with said, we're opening a unit in Singapore and we need volunteers. And immediately my hand went up. I was ready to go. One of the things I had to do in that position was I had to hire local staff that would be doing the consulting. And so my purpose was to hire them and develop them. I hired people from Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. And the group I hired, there were Buddhists, there were Hindus, there were Muslims, there were Christians, and some had no religious or philosophical or cultural connection to a higher being. But here's what I know. there was no difference between any of those staff when it came down to the human being, from how I looked at spirituality from my point of view. Since then, my spiritual development created my belief, and this is what I know, that I believe that God is a loving God. Anyone who wants to connect to God can. I like to think of spirituality as coming from a place of spiritual riches. As a spiritual elder, we can use the word God, Supreme Being, Source, the Universe, Lord, Allah, Native Spirit, or 100 other words that are used by various religions and cultures throughout the world. All are included in my view of God. The book, One River, Many Wells, by Matthew Fox, helped me to understand these spiritual riches. We are from one river, but the world uses many wells, those being religions, cultures, special beliefs, and individual faith connect us to the one river. Through my life travels and experience, I had the chance to broaden my understanding of the many wells. One of the aspects when I look at spirituality is the development of what I call a spiritual practice, and there's been a lot written about a spiritual practice. In my book, I talk about the various ways that you can use when you do a spiritual practice. You know, you can pray, you can contemplate, you can reflect, you can journal, you can walk in nature, you can sit in silence, you can have a conversation. There are many, many ways to have a spiritual practice. What I know and what helps me is that if I have a spiritual practice in place that I do every day, then my life has a different meaning for that day. I also like how other people look at themselves and their belief in spirituality or religion. The Dalai Lama says, and I really like this, "This is my simple religion," he says. "There is no need for temples, no need for complicated philosophy. Our own brain, our own heart is our temple. The philosophy is kindness." Oh, just think, kindness. And that's what I see such a need for. If we can be kind to each other and respect each other and trust each other, then we have a really strong spiritual base. Another writer, Candy Paul, talks about taking a gratitude walk. And she says, "Thank God for all the good gifts in your life as you walk through the forest, field, or town. Let the rhythm of each footstep say, thank you, thank you." Another aspect that I look at in when I think about spirituality is the word love. For me, that's a really hard emotion for me to understand. I'm keep trying to find a much stronger connection, and I know it connects directly to relationships with people. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross speaks of love. "There is no mistaking love. You feel it in your heart. It is a common fiber of your life. It's the flame that heals our soul, energizes our spirit, and supplies passion to our lives. It is our connection to God and each other." That's love. In The Power of the Soul, John Holen says, "Love is the foundation of your existence, and you're just as capable of giving it as you are of receiving it. Love can be a beautiful emotion, but it's also a form of energy that propels you through life. So lastly, what's my voice? I say, as a spiritual elder, I want you to think about this concept put forth by Gary Janssen. Many of us act like a person who owns a beautiful diamond, but focuses only on the tiny scratch within. We've spent the whole of our human history focusing not on the radiance of the diamond, but obsessing on the blemish. Instead of focusing on love and forgiveness, we've nursed anger and hatred. What we need to do is go back and focus on the love and the forgiveness. As a spiritual elder, I believe we must be concerned about humanity. We must live our life connected to the universal knowingness. We must live from our authentic self. We must be love.
For more about being an elder living a meaningful life, visit beinganelder.com. You can purchase a copy of the Being an Elder, Becoming a Treasure book online.